golf today.
Hey, welcome to Outlaw Radio, the show focused on helping fellow Christians navigate the new reality of being outlaws in a world growing more hostile to the way of Jesus. My name is Zach Adams, and I pastor a church located just outside of Athens, Georgia. The name of the church is Calvary 316. If you'd like to learn more about our church, service time, location information, if you want to access any of our teaching media, I encourage you to check out our website, which is calvary316.com. Again, calvary316.com. As always, I am joined in the studio by my brother in arms, Spice Daddy, as well as the producer of this dysfunction, Pope Creighton Von Creighton. Explain to the folks how this show works.
Hey, y'all. Basically, the show works where Zach and Justin try and get to me to throw me off my game before we start filming. And today, they did a very good job of it. Anyway, Outlaw Radio, the podcast you're currently watching, is a live stream show that is also released as a podcast. The show first streams on YouTube and Facebook and X, which is what we call Twitter. And then the audio is posted the next day on Apple, Google, and Spotify. If you're joining us live, we are monitoring the comment sections of both streams on both X, Twitter. Nope, Twitter's the same thing as X. Lost it there.
That's true.
No, took my eyes off the page.
You're working through it.
X, YouTube, and Facebook, we're monitoring those comments. So if you have something you'd like to say to us, either about our topic or if you have something you want us to talk about, you can let us know there. You can also text Zach directly.
That's right.
678-438-9202. If you happen to be listening to the podcast,
let me add though.
All right,
you can text me at any point in tonight's show up until 8:38. 8:38 is when my phone will go dark.
Okay.
So if you're gonna try to reach out to me before first pitch of game two of the Braves, first pitch is 8:38. So my phone will be turned off because the game is recording. And no gotcha. One will spoil whatever happens.
I see.
So just a little, you know, I jump back into your blur, but okay, just yeah. making sure people know that.
I'm glad you gave context. I was trying to figure out why 8:38.
That's 8:38. That's
time.
First pitch.
Gotcha.
Yes.
You don't want anything spoiled. Is this a big game?
This could be the last game of the season.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So if you're listening to the podcast and this is happening some other time than right now, text Zach what the score is.
I will already know.
If you are listening to the podcast, you want to reach out to us, your best bet is our email address, which is popecreighton@gmail.com. That's Pope, spelled P-O-P-E, and Creighton, spelled C-R-E-I-G-H-T-O-N, @gmail.com.
You should say,
welcome, everybody. That was probably longer than it meant to be, but let's go.
You should say Pope Creighton, spelled Pope, C-R-E-I-G-H-T-O-N. E-I-G-H. It's like, I feel like
everyone
of the two names,
Pope, right?
People know how to spell Pope.
I might start spelling Pope and not spelling Creighton.
Or just start,
like it's spelled P-O-P-E, like, Creighton.
Like everyone knows how to spell Creighton.
Right, exactly.
And then you're like
what
dot,
you squares?
D-O-T, com.
Okay, hey, orange juice with the Pope in it.
Hey, check this out. We've got Deal Daddy Derek.
This is first time in a while.
I feel like that'd be a good introduction. I like my orange juice with the Pope in it.
Oh. And Spice Daddy, you're with us. How you
What's
doing?
Up?
You're up, you're on.
I know, I'm monitoring X, you know, just making sure that people are chatting. It's usually just a one-sided conversation with me.
Yeah, that's how a lot of your conversations are.
Hey, it's only weird if I talk back to myself.
That would be so weird. I absolutely wouldn't do that. I don't have conversations with both sides going on.
I think we should acknowledge that Spice Daddy is turned 39 yesterday.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Failure as a friend. I set on my calendar to happy birthday.
It's worse when you have the calendar reminder.
Literally,
and
dude.
Just don't see it.
And you just don't, or you ignore it.
You know what's even worse? They pried it out of me when my birthday was. It took them probably 2 weeks of them constantly berating me.
This is rough.
For me to
so your reveal. Mom and dad are in the UK, Upper Kentucky.
Yeah.
Did they reach out and wish you a happy birthday?
Yeah.
See, even from England, they reached out to their baby boy.
They I literally him. Had it on the calendar, dude. I set a
You're
reminder.
You're killing yourself, Deal Daddy.
Hey, I'm honest. I get it. I messed up. I'm sorry. Love you. Happy birthday.
Well, tonight's episode is going to be kind of a weird one. We're going to be, the title of the episode is Seeing Demons. And
that's why I'm here.
And that is why you're here. That is, we needed to meet about youth ministry, but also I thought this would be a great episode for Deal Daddy to be with us on, because I think you have some very interesting insights and sensitivities to the demonic world, the spirits, principalities, the darkness of the age around us. So your feedback will be paramount. I'm very glad that you're with us. Before we get to that particular topic, though, I posted this out with kind of the ad for the episode. I want to start off tonight by talking just a little bit about what's going on in Israel. Over the course of probably the last 48 hours, Iran has fired off an upwards of 200 plus ballistic missiles to Israel. As far as I'm aware, there have been no fatalities in Israel.
There was one.
Oh, I know there was a Palestinian in Jericho.
Jericho, and the video of it was crazy.
Yeah, that got crushed by the fuselage that fell from the sky. Mm. Yeah, it was brutal. Yeah.
Wow. He's just standing. I have not seen this. That sounds wild.
He's in Jericho standing on a street corner, and he takes like three steps to cross the road and use the fuselage of it just boom and just crushes him.
Like Final Destination.
Oh, yeah. It's just random. Add that to the list of things you're going to have to look out for in the future to fear.
Yeah.
Jessica Adams just texted in. Justin, happy birthday.
Thanks. Hey. You know what Jessica is really good at doing?
What's that?
She's good at writing Christmas
books. You have any specific examples you can give us?
She wrote this book. It's called An Amazon Christmas. You can find it on Amazon Prime.
Just search Amazon Christmas
An Amazon Christmas.
Jessica Adams or Emily Norris, the other writer of the book. Nice plug. Yep. Thank you for that. Happy birthday again.
Thanks.
But I want to talk a little bit about Israel. So many rockets. The United Nations has come out, like, predictably and have tried to call for a ceasefire with no repercussions. Mm. Israel has vowed retaliation, has gone so far as, and I think this is the first time in quite a while, a formally declared war on Iran. Is that correct?
That's news to me. I was at work and haven't been able to.
I believe that they formally declared war on Iran. Now, what that looks like, we don't know.
I saw a statement saying that they will strike back at some point, but it'll be on their time and Iran won't know.
And it'll hurt, I think, is what Netanyahu said. Yes. To his credit, our president, President Biden, came out and issued a statement saying that Israel has the full support of the United States. When the rockets started flying, not only did the Iron Dome intercept, but there have been reports that some of the aircraft carriers, the destroyers that we have in the Gulf, were active in shooting down a lot of these missiles as well. So
a lot of them hit, though, and it is amazing that nobody got hurt. Like, that's, I was insane, watching videos that my friends were posting from, because I got friends in Jerusalem, friends in the north, and friends in Tel Aviv, and nobody got, like, I saw missiles hitting nearby where I used to hang out and where my apartment was.
You know, I think it's, explain, Justin, explain the Israeli culture, because they live in a constant fear of this happening all the time. You've actually been in a rocket attack yourself, but it's not like, you know, so, like, I think for Americans, when we think of shooting rockets into cities, we think of first thing that comes to mind is Iraqi Freedom. The rockets flying off the carriers, and then you get the green glow, but we're blowing things to smithereens in Baghdad, but they're specifically targeted military installations, places that were housing artillery, munitions, that we would send in. A lot of times we'll send in the SEALs. We'll send special navigators that actually light up targets. So when we think as Americans of shooting rockets, we think of guided missiles that have a programmed target. Now, there are mistakes that are made. Sometimes it hits a target, and what we believed was in it, it wasn't there. Sometimes there can be, with all technology, malfunctions, things like that happen. But by and large, when we talk about one nation shooting missiles at another nation. We think of one military attacking another military, but that's not the way that this operates. So when you hear Iran fires missiles to Israel, or you hear that rockets have been fired from Gaza, or rockets from Lebanon with Hezbollah, that is not what we think of. These are not guided. So I'm setting that up for you to maybe explain. As somebody that's lived in Israel, how does all this work? What is the vibe of that?
This Iranian attack was a little bit more different than Hezbollah or Hamas shooting the rockets, where they're pretty much just fully really big bottle rockets with explosives in them that they just aim and shoot indiscriminately. Iran,
they have no idea where they're going.
Iran is a little bit more technologically advanced, so they are somewhat guided. However, like, Iran's total goal, Hamas's total goal, Hezbollah's total goal of their entire life is destroy, kill all the Jews and destroy Israel. So, I mean, their goal is not to destroy the military of Israel. Their goal is just to kill people.
And to eliminate the Jewish population from the Holy Land.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's been a week, because, you know, I got between this hurricane and stuff, like Friday, we couldn't get a hold of my grandparents. So I drove up to their house just to make sure, because phone lines and power was out. And I got friends up in North Carolina that are trapped because bridges and stuff are out. And
let's talk about that. And this started in a minute. Yeah. No, it's been, and then we have a chemical fire not too far from us that made the whole area smell like chlorine on Monday morning.
But it is
gross.
It's surreal watching videos of stuff and being like, I was there not too long ago.
So they have spread out throughout Israel and all of the communities. They have bomb shelters everywhere.
Yeah, and a lot of people have bomb rooms in their apartments, which are just hardened rooms, more like closets, really. So it's a sad reality that they have to have them, but it's not super effective at some of these missiles that they were firing. So they're hypersonic ballistic missiles being fired at them this time around. So
let me address what is always a reaction within the Christian community to any type of perceived escalation. And let's keep in mind that this is the second time that Iran has fired ballistic missiles or missiles. I don't want to use ballistic and be wrong that they were some other type. A missile's a missile. This has happened already before. Since October 7th of last year, there's been all kinds of crazy conflict that's been going on. The Middle East is on fire without a doubt. There's always this reaction, though, within the Christian evangelical community, to start playing prophecy updates, of trying to connect dots, of trying to say the rapture's coming, you know, the war of Gog and Magog is on the horizon, time is short, things are escalating to our Bible, you know, taking scripture, taking the front page of the news and trying to reconcile the two. That's always the reaction with any type of escalation that takes place within Israel. Again, could this be the beginnings of something? For sure, could be. Can we say for sure? No. Again, we had a similar escalation that took place just a couple months ago with Iran. Let me give you one thing to keep an eye on that would be an interesting development from a prophetic timeline. And that would be the involvement of Russia within the conflict in any way. Reason being is Ezekiel 38 and 39, which I believe is a still yet unfulfilled prophecy that doesn't really find a home in the 7 years of Great Tribulation, is a prophecy I believe will be fulfilled in conjunction with or right before the rapture of the church. The dynamic being that Russia and a 10-nation coalition seek to invade Israel. And Israel appears to be in bad straits, that the deck is stacked against them, that their defeat appears to be inevitable. Why is America and not behind Israel at this point? We don't know. That doesn't seem to be referred to within the prophecy itself. Things are so overwhelming that Israel's toast, apart from what happens, which is a complete intervention of God, that God intervenes and destroys the armies of Russia, the rest of this coalition, which is the majority Muslim nations, excluding Babylon, excluding Egypt. I think those are interesting. Those are the only two countries in the Middle East that have some type of, I won't say normalized relations with Israel, but a more complicated relationship with Israel.
For context, yeah, everybody knows where Egypt is. Where would Babylon
be? Babylon would be present-day Iraq. Okay. And so within Iraq, you know, still with America's money and military influence in that country, it would be hard to see Iraq jump into a conflict. Egypt's the only Arab country that has an actual peace accord with Israel. There's the Arab Accords. Those are in the works. My point being is, okay, we've got some conflict happening with Iran and Israel. We've got Israel sending some ground incursions into southern Lebanon. We've got this continuous conflict happening in Gaza. What does this mean? Well, it just means it's kind of every Tuesday in Israel. It's a little bit more intense. I will say I do think the events of October 7th and just the tragedy that took place where Hamas went in, the one thing that it has done, which is unique, is that it unified Israel. The Israeli population has always been somewhat divided when it comes to the strategy of making peace with its neighbors. It's why, you know, you have a more conservative wing and more liberal wing. Just even the population in general, which tends to be more liberal in Israel. I saw recent data out that, I mean, overwhelmingly, the Israeli population, because of what happened on October 7th, is galvanized behind Israel's right to defend itself, protecting its borders, and not just that, but doing something proactive to eradicate the threat. They want to live in peace and harmony. Israel is not just Hebrew. It is Arab as well. And Hamas overplayed its hand, got really no support from the international community because of how barbaric their atrocities were. Galvanized Israelis to deal very heavy-handedly in Gaza, and then has given Israel the green light dealing effectively with Hamas, has now allowed Israel to deal with the primary threat, which has been Hezbollah in the north in Lebanon, which is very much a proxy of Iran. And now that Israel has, with the pagers blowing up and all of that, has eradicated the majority of the upper infrastructure of Hezbollah, it's forced Iran into a more proactive move. Again, it's a complicated neighborhood. It is an explosive neighborhood. These things tend to have these big swell-ups, and then that swell dissipates, and it can be years before we see another rumbling. Israel is very tactful. Okay, you send a bunch of missiles. That doesn't mean that Israel sends a bunch of missiles back, but it could mean that they sabotage several nuclear facilities as recompense. Like, it's, you know, Israel's very tactful in how they go about things. As Christians, my point is pump the brakes on the prophecy updates. Could Jesus come back tomorrow? Absolutely. Does that have anything to do with what's going on in the Middle East? No. In fact, you can create scenarios where Jesus talks about the rapture of the church coming in a period of peace as a thief in the night when no one expects it. Right now, everyone's kind of on edge and kind of expecting it, meaning probably not. But if you are keep an eye on Russia. Russia has made statements supporting Iran, threatening Israel to tone it down. At the same time, Russia has no ability to launch any type of ground incursion into Israel or to even lead a coalition of nations because of the quagmire that they're stuck in eastern Ukraine. So until that's reconciled, I don't see Russia opening up a full-blown invasion of the Middle East in this present environment. So, Justin, again, just you have anything you want to add to that, or you guys have any questions on your own?
So Yom Kippur is coming up next week. It's the Happy New Year to all my Jewish friends. Shana Tova. It's a new year in the Jewish calendar, with Yom Kippur, the high holy day, being next week. So, I mean, usually things tend to happen around.
Haven't we had a war on Yom Kippur already?
Yeah. But, like, stuff tends to happen in Israel on certain holiday stuff. Now, whether that be knowingly with the Islamists or just the way
more
things
coincidentally
work out. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Yom Kippur War, that was specifically to catch Israel off guard.
Right.
I mean, that there is a, you know, it'd be like launching an invasion in America on like the end of Thanksgiving Day, mm-hmm. when everyone's fattened and watching football and semi-comatose. You wouldn't want to invade on 4th of July. There are already too many rednecks shooting guns and explosives.
Too
much going on.
You don't think that doesn't happen on Thanksgiving?
On Thanksgiving? Well, where you're from, probably, yeah.
I'd like to say one
thing. Yeah, jump in.
Just like, I totally agree with what you're saying about, like, don't get all weird about the rapture now because it looks like things are happening in Israel. That's, like, you should be looking forward to the rapture, but don't get weird about it now. In the same breath, if like all of the stuff going on in Israel has made you think, oh, that's right, tomorrow isn't promised, and I have friends who are not Christians, and I need to be doing more about that, hold on to that, because you are correct, tomorrow is not promised. Regardless Amen. Of what goes on in Israel, you could die tonight. The person you know who doesn't know Christ could die tonight. If all of this has made you think, I'm not doing enough for my friends, hold on to that. Because if you don't think you're doing enough, you're probably.
Well, I think
I'm not trying to like, you're not doing enough. But if you don't think you're doing enough.
Well, I think as Americans, I mean, we could just got to look a couple hours from where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple hours from us, like, entire towns got washed away.
Yeah.
I mean,
tomorrow really isn't a promise.
It's not
promise. It could get real weird really fast.
No, I think that's a good point. I think that's a good thing to focus on. It's like, okay, yes, this is a reality that this can literally shift and happen now. The Lord can come back at any moment. I'm like, okay, because the Lord can come back at any moment, who is that family member that you may have been feeling pressed on your heart to talk to about the Lord? Who's that friend? Who's that work? Whoever. Like, this is the opportunity as a wake-up call to be like, hey, the Lord's coming back. He can come back tomorrow. He can come back tonight. Don't miss an opportunity to be able to share the gospel with somebody else. Like, that's what we're called to do. So don't live in fear about like, oh, the Lord could come tonight. That's just eternally the situation mm-hmm. that we live in. So take the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody.
So, yeah. So let me ask you, Creighton, are you doing enough?
No, that's why I said it, because I was feeling that. I'm feeling that currently.
So explain then, working this out, you set that one up for me.
I see where you're going.
What is then, like, okay, you got that sense. Like, man, this is crazy. Like, we live in crazy times. And like, I don't know if this is the beginning of the end or not, but like, it could be. I mean, there's not a lot of prophetic things that need to be fulfilled left.
Right. We're coming down to the wire. Really,
it's like, and there's a lot of things within the book of Revelation, different scenarios and things where it's like, man, I didn't like the image of the beast speaking out, et cetera. Yeah. Like, and you're like, I don't understand how that is until like the last year where you're like AI. Oh yeah. Well, that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Like, so that hit you. Like, am I doing enough? Well, then, okay, work that out for us. What does that then look like for you? Like, what does practically, what does that mean?
Practically, for me specifically, it means rebuilding a relationship with my brother, who I have not had a relationship, not a real relationship with in, I don't know, a decade and a half. Like, you know, we don't get along. I don't like hang out with him very much. And I'm getting better at that. And I've been trying over the past couple years. I had great urging for my mother. And just after all of everything going on in the Middle East and the whole, like I, women's bombing yesterday, Leslie called me upstairs and I was just staring at bombs raining over Israel. And it's hard not to think the world is coming to an end when you see that. And so it's the thing I've been thinking about is like, I really should be doing more. So I'm trying to rebuild a relationship with my brother because I don't believe my brother's a believer. And if he's watching this, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, bud.
Well, then tell him something.
I don't know what I would
tell
him.
If he's watching it right now, this is the whole point. Now,
hey, I'm doing my best to rebuild a relationship with you because I don't want you to go to hell. It would make mom very sad. It would make me very sad.
It would make him very sad.
It would make you very sad. It would make God very sad. Like, I don't want that. So I'm trying. I am doing more to hang out with him. I've invited him to the upcoming Band of Brothers. I'm also sweating profusely right
That's
now.
That's fine.
I just want you to know that.
No, this is the best thing you've ever brought to Al Radio.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the only thing.
It's the only thing.
Oh, my goodness.
The whole show was mine, like, last year, whatever. Anyway, I'm trying to rebuild a personal relationship with him because... If you don't know, that's the easiest way to share Jesus with people is to have a personal relationship with them. And then you can be like, hey, let me tell you about this thing that I love, as opposed to just walking up to a random and saying, let me tell you about this thing that I love. Hey, you love me. I love this thing. Let me show it to you.
Well, I think tragedies like that are happening are a good way to do that. Because, for example, last time I got rockets shot at me when I was in Israel, they had a lot of people freaking out. But a lot of the Christians were like, It is what it is.
Shalom.
Yeah, right. And they're like, how?
We knew this was coming.
Yeah, it was like, how can you have this peace? I was like, I don't know, Jesus. It's one of those things where I read a story on X today about a dude up in Tennessee lost his entire farm. Mm-hmm. And these people came up to like rescue him. He was like reminiscing, like, oh, man, this is where everything was. Then the next thing he says on his lips was, hey, where do y'all go to church? Do you know Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like immediately switched over. And that's asinine in the senses of the world.
But in reality, it is making the most sense. Like it is the most important thing? The farm can come and
can't
go.
Take well, I mean,
Zach,
with
Zach
you
was
anyway.
Talking about that on a sermon at 316 this last mm-hmm. summer. Like, we all know on average, the average age for males in the U.S. is 82, something like that. We got around 80 years, right?
Yeah.
That's so short amount of time.
It's not that long.
You, after another year, even less.
I know. Man, I thought I was going to die a long time ago. And
same.
God just keeps making me live.
I do
longer.
Need to go back same. To a comment that Creighton did make. And if you're listening on the podcast, or for that matter, watching right now, and you're like, what, who are these people? And what am I listening to? Creighton,
we ask ourselves the same question every time.
My mom said hallelujah in the chat.
There you go. Well, Creighton made a comment that if you don't know anything about Creighton, sounded very weird. So we're going to try to just unpack that for a moment because you said, yeah, Leslie called me up from the basement. And I came upstairs to watch
I
fires.
I live in the basement. That's okay, not that well, weird.
Yeah, but no one knows. Like, if you didn't know who Leslie was or anything about you, you're like, wait, he lives in a basement
well,
with a woman?
Tune in next week to find
tune
out.
Next
week. You got to be here for next episode.
You know who we should have on the show?
Leslie.
You know, that would be wild.
That'd be a good one.
I wonder if that's the special.
I wonder.
So if, okay, that can be confusing. I totally understand.
Yeah.
Leslie is Derek's mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Which clarifies it.
Nothing at all. It doesn't clarify anything. Yeah. That's all I'm going to give him.
So tune in next week.
anything online other than your mom saying a celebration?
We've got a good evening from Miss Ann. So everyone say hi to Miss Ann.
Absolutely, Miss Ann.
Derek Kennedy says, happy birthday, Spice Daddy.
Thanks, Derek.
He put that in the chat, which I appreciate. And the mom said, hallelujah. I assume not to the birthday thing to be talking
hallelujah.
About.
Hallelujah.
Don't forget that you can reach out in real time. 678-438-9202 is my cell phone number. You can shoot me a text. Yes. Would love to hear your feedback. You can also, at any point, you can drop us an email. More applicable to those that listen on the podcast, popecreighton@gmail.com. I got an email this week from Chris, who had some Christian hip hop recommendations for Spice Daddy.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Nice. So I have to pass those along
yes,
to you.
Yes, please do.
And we'd love to hear from you, the audience. So questions, comments, feedback,
or if you're on WhatsApp for the international, we got
explain
WhatsApp.
That. Right, explain
a lot, yeah. So a lot of our. So I was talking to Walter from South Africa. What's up, Walter? We're talking today, and he's like. It was really encouraging to hear from him just throughout the week. We got a WhatsApp group, so if you have the app WhatsApp, it's a communication application on phones that most
How
of the world
How would they get
uses.
Access to our yeah. WhatsApp chat?
Good question. I'm still figuring this one out.
Well, first you'd need to download WhatsApp.
Yes, yes you would need the WhatsApp app.
I'll see if I can't send it a link to our Facebook so Creighton can
we can also if you're into WhatsApp, if you're international, this is an international show, you
yeah,
know
we're yep
we're worldwide. All we're yeah
Paul's
we're
Pitbull.
Worldwide
multiple continents the Outlaw Radio Show. You can always again drop us an email, because I do think they have email in other countries.
Pretty sure
You can email us again, popecreighton@gmail.com. Say, hey, send me some info. I'll forward those to Spice Daddy, who will get in touch. Or if you're on X, Spice Daddy, at Spice Daddy 316 is Justin's handle, and easy way to find him.
I am a potential up-and-coming podcast star.
That is his formal bio.
What do I have on that?
So anyway, as Justin is figuring out WhatsApp and how that takes place, I want to look at a passage of Scripture and set the stage for talking about, and again, this is a bit of an awkward conversation. We've touched on it a little bit in this season of Outlaw Radio, primarily in the first episode where we were talking about abortion and kind of the worship of Molech and some of, the demons and things that were going on. I don't know if it's just an algorithm. Like, obviously, this stuff has always existed, but it's always existed kind of on a fringe, where if you even kind of mentioned it, you sounded like a wackadoodle. Like, for example, you guys remember Pizzagate?
Mm-hmm.
Remember yeah, Pizzagate?
For sure.
Did I tell people what Pizzagate was?
Well, basically, it was an underground ring of like
a supposed underground ring.
Led by, not necessarily led, but involved with some higher ups, like political officials, maybe some actors higher up, more like people that you would know that shouldn't be involved with this thing. And then with like child trafficking. And so that was a big thing. What was his name?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Jeffrey Epstein was a big part of that. Who was the guy who was trying to debunk it? But he's just wild and crazy.
The guy actually went into the place with the AK?
Yes. But there's the other guy who's always on the internet. He does his own, the InfoWars.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, and Alex Jones was a big proprietor for trying to debunk this and bring light to this. So, yeah, basically it was just something hidden behind the scenes under the dark realm of a child trafficking scheme. But if you look
and
at it.
Was, and it was, it like, it was even darker than that. Because it was children were involved, sexual activity, drinking blood for prolonged life. Again, pure demon stuff. Like, and so like Alex Jones with InfoWars was like the first person like, this is going on in DC. They're sacrificing children. They're drinking the blood. And then even like more mainstream, you've had like. I'm a big Tucker Carlson fan, but Tucker Carlson has kind of gone on over the last year. He's been really big into like UFOs, and just the sightings of UFOs and stuff that's come out that's been released by the government, and his theory now is like, okay, these are not like extraterrestrial beings, but these are full-blown demons that are interdimensional beings that the government knows about, interacts with, and is taking orders from.
I'm just wondering why it took him so long to figure that out. I've been talking about this for years.
We had episodes. we had an episode with Gary Bates a couple years ago where we talked about UFOs and
why
and
that you they can't were, fly up to Antarctica. Why can't you fly over the ice wall?
So you got like right, but that's my point. We've had like these rumblings of really dark, demonic, occultish practices, not like on the fringes of society, but like at the heartbeat of the ruling class. And then you look at like the Biden administration has lost like 300 and something thousand children that have been used to migrate over the border. And like, and then there was all this stuff with Jeffrey Epstein, and it was like, well, what's going on there? And are people being blackmailed? And like, and then he kills himself, and no one's really buying that explanation. And a whole time you're like, this can't be happening. This can't be real. These are just, again, wing nuts. Right?
No, yeah. It's kind of like America fell into an SVU episode. Yeah. Like Law and Order, it's Law and Order SVU levels of like almost comedic
or
evil.
Or the X-Files.
Right. It's almost comedic levels of evil and corroboration that we're seeing right now.
Well, when think about those people that are individually trying to bring to light these things that they think are happening, right? What were at the people at the time of the days of Noah, when Noah was building the ark, what did they think he was? Absolutely insane, absolutely crazy. But what happened? Bada bing, bada boom, rain started coming. Everybody was like, oh no, this is true.
Was Noah the Alex Jones of his day?
I mean, making the frogs gay.
Yeah, they are. Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah, but
I'm
like
frog, I'm being trouble, boy, on the tap water I'm drinking.
But then moving it, and I want to stay within the realm of the demonic. Mm-hmm. Like there's, we can go down a lot of different rabbit holes, whatever. But I just want to like stick on that thread. This demonic influence is growing, demonic normalcy. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yes, the phone, it is 8:38. The Braves first pitch is happening.
My
phone has gone dark.
That's because I'm in the same boat
as you. Yeah, he's going to walk out and watch the game with me when we're done at 9 o'clock. So, again, it's been one of those things where it's been hard to process. And with every new wrinkle that hits the news, you're like, I feel like we're getting desensitized to something. I feel like something is becoming more normalized. Like there's a reason that the veil is being pulled back. And like the most recent deal is this whole Puff Daddy thing, P. Diddy. For those of you that don't know, Puff Daddy was Bad Boys Records. This is a 90s rap kid. And was incredibly influential. Lots of money, a kingmaker in a lot of the music industry. But apparently it was also in the same thread of like Jeffrey Epstein was hosting parties, recording and filming everything. There were a lot of underage activity. There was a lot of demonic stuff. These white parties, like again,
and just a lot of sexual perversion just across the board.
Mm-hmm. I saw a video from Lecrae last night that Lecrae got invited to one of these white parties, and like went down, thought like, okay, this is cool. He went down like into the studio and was just like listening to some music. And then he comes upstairs, this is in Los Angeles, and he's looking around and he's like, I have got to leave now. And like one of his buddies who like had invited him to the party was like, hey, your soul matters. If you stay here, you will lose your soul. You need to leave immediately. And I'll have to find the video and post it, but I saw it last night. Just again, you know, the old sold your soul to rock and roll. There is, I think Katy Perry, you look at like what's going on with Katy Perry, like the she was a Christian. She was in a POD music video and with Christian family. And she like, my point is that there is, you know, like Paul writes that we don't wrestle in flesh and blood, but our fight is in, like, the battle is with spirits, principalities, the darkness of this age, that, like, there is a world around us that we are completely oblivious to, I think, the majority of the time, desensitized to intentionally. And man, we're being given more and more like the veil, the quick pulls of the curtain, where it's like, hey, yeah, this is going on. What are you going to do about it? And you're like, as Christians, I think we need to open our eyes to, like, oh my goodness gracious, there is seriously a battle waging around all of us that is not seen by the physical eye, but should be seen by the spiritual eye. And I set that up for a passage of scripture. It was one of my favorite stories. And I want to read through it and kind of comment about it. And then we'll kind of unpack it together. So Jesus, he comes to Bethsaida. And they brought a blind man to him. This is, I'm reading, by the way, from Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. So Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. Jesus comes to Bethsaida. They brought a blind man to him, and he begged Jesus to touch him. So Jesus, his word, like his fame has been spreading. His reputation goes before him. Jesus is known as a lot of things. He's known as a rabbi, as a teacher. He has a following of disciples. He's known as the carpenter of Nazareth, a man of the people in some regards, blue collar. He's known by some slander. The religious establishment call him a wine bibber and a glutton because of the company that he kept. He's developed an inner core of misfits, the disciples, the 18, the apostles. Jesus is also known as a great preacher, as a theologian, but he's also known as a miracle worker. Everywhere Jesus went, he would substantiate the authority and power of the message of his word, his preaching, by the same word demonstrating actual physical power in that moment in space and time. So you could trust that that when Jesus said your sins are forgiven, that it had authority, because, I mean, who else can then turn to the lame man and said, rise, take up your bed and walk? The miracles were designed to substantiate the power, the validity, the standing of his word. But word had spread, his reputation. Jesus had healed people of blindness, which, again, in the first century world was, I mean, a terrible situation. I mean, it's hard to navigate today with blindness, even with all of our advancements in the technologies. If you're losing sight, you know, we have LASIK surgery, we have eyeglasses. And if you're living in a time before eyeglasses, I mean, you lose your ability to see, and you're in a world of hurt. I mean, and you're in a world without a social safety net. You know, the Jews had a certain measure you could beg for alms, but I mean, if you lost your sight, you were in trouble. Which is why you can understand, Jesus comes to Bethsaida and they bring a blind man to Jesus, and they bring this blind man because he can't get to Jesus on his own. Good friends. And what does the man do? He begs Jesus to touch him. And again, blindness, healing blindness. You know, we have a small record of the miracles that Jesus performed, but of the miracles that Jesus performed, the performing of healing of sight, blindness, we have 5 recorded instances of Jesus healing the blind. And what's fascinating is that in every one of the 5 instances, Jesus would heal with a different mechanism. Like, he never heals someone of blindness the same way. Because, you know, he's making it clear it's not the method, it's the person doing the method. It's the power came from him. So the man, he's like, just touch me. I don't know how. I don't know what way you want to do it. But he's desperate. He's begging Jesus to touch him. So Jesus took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Now, like, don't miss what just happens there. Like, have you ever been spat in the face?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had someone spit on you?
No, I sure haven't.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's a deep, like, violation of human space. Can you imagine getting spat on and you didn't see it coming? You know? And you get spat on not just in the face, but in the eyes, and you can't see anyway. You didn't see it coming. And this is the guy that heals the blind that you've been begging to have heal you, that leads you out of town. For all you know, he's like, oh, I'm going to play a cruel joke on you, but I don't want anyone else to see it. You know, so like, hey, come with me, buddy. And then you get out of town like, oh, it's quiet now. And you're sitting there like, I can't wait. And then you hear him like swelling up a loogie. Like, I mean, he's got feeling. You know,
didn't have toothbrushes back then or toothpaste.
Jesus.
Gross.
Jesus had beautiful teeth. I'm sure of it. Pearly whites.
I mean, teeth count as bones. We couldn't break any of them.
But I mean, again.
I broke his ribs. Stabbed him in?
No, they went between the ribs.
Oh,
but they
prophecy about Jesus not breaking any bones. It's a whole deal.
So they spat. Jesus spat in his face, right? He spits in his eyes. He puts his hands on him. Now, we're not told he puts his hands on his eyes. Right? Again, like just taking the text at face value. He just puts his hands on the man. You know? Do you see anything? And he looked up. And the man said, I see men like trees walking. So Jesus put his hands on his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Now, the traditional presentation of this miracle, it's complicated. Because, I mean, again, the basic reading of it is that Jesus performs a miracle, and that miracle is incomplete. That, like, Jesus needs a redo. That, like, he spits in the man's eyes, touches him. What do you see? And the man looks up, and he says, I see men like trees walking. And Jesus is like, oh, snap.
Missed that one.
I need to up the power a little. And then touches his eyes again. What do you see? And then he sees clearly. Again, that's such a strict, like, this is the only miracle we have, like, anywhere close to this. You know, it's not like Jesus called Lazarus forth. It was like, doo-doo, doo-doo, pee. Oh, no. You know, Lazarus, no, really, come forth. Let me do it again. You know, like, or like he heals the man with the withered hand, and he's like, like,
can you get the pinky?
Like, I still, let me get it all the way. Like, this is a strange miracle. And if you present it in the sense that it is a progressive miracle, because you'll hear it taught this way. You'll hear it taught that, hey, listen, you come to Jesus with a hurt. You come to Jesus broken. You beg Jesus, Jesus, will you touch me? Will you heal me? And Jesus does. He reaches out and he touches you. And you feel his power, you know his presence, but you're not fully healed. And so you have to come back to Jesus and come back to Jesus And every time Jesus touches you, there's more healing and there's more liberation and there's more freedom. That there's a progressive nature sometimes to the way in which Jesus heals us. That yes, Jesus can just touch a person and boom, totally healed. But that doesn't necessarily happen for everyone. Like, you know, you'll hear stories of the alcoholic who, you know, was like, we had a guy named Paul Clark come to our church a while back, and he tells a story about being, or Josh Brown recently with Outlaw Radio, more apt. But Josh was talking about how, like, it was like one night, like he had tried 12 steps, had gone to all AA meetings, had done everything to try to break the cycle of drugs. But like he had an encounter and like, boom, has never had like total healing. Jesus, boom, touched him. But then other people don't have that experience. Like there's progress, like two steps forward, step back, two steps forward. And like, and so this text will be used to say, hey, that's okay. Sometimes Jesus heals people in different ways. And listen, that is absolutely true. Like that, there's a truth there. Spice, jump in real fast.
I think they're missing one thing in that. It's like, yeah, sometimes it's progressive, sometimes it's instant, but it's always, always intentional.
For sure.
And I think
like that's, Jesus has a purpose.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't a mistake that he did it and didn't get it fully and then completed it. He intentionally did it that way. And it's like that with everything Jesus does. Everything he does, everything God does is intentional. It's with intention, and he does it exactly the way he wants to do it.
So there is, and that is so true. Great point. There's another way to read the miracle, though.
Adversely, he did it too much, and now he can see into the spiritual. And then he's so, like, oh, my bad.
What if this is a regressive miracle? Mm-hmm. Where the man's begging Jesus, heal me. Jesus spits in his eyes. And the man can see like a shrimp.
That is such a random reference.
That you got.
Know what he means by a shrimp?
Mm-hmm. Explain, Creighton, what I mean by that.
So, what do you mean by
that? Explain how sight works and what I mean.
So, basically, the way sight works, specifically with the shrimp, is it has to do with the colors. The way you see colors is there are rods and cones in your eye that absorb specific colors of light. And then we have three, red, blue, and green.
So which is why yellow's right. Nystagmus of our...
Actually, it's green. It's just the way that the light mixes. You mix to make all the other colors you see. The mantis shrimp has like 16 cones or something. So they can see like 2 billion times more colors than we can.
And infrared, X-ray, all kinds of stuff.
You would go farther outside of the visible light spectrum. They get to see more of that. And so that's what he meant when he says that the guy got to see like a shrimp, is that now he's seeing all of the colors outside of the rainbow.
100% vision.
And, yes. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, 100% vision. So
I did like the reference, by the way.
So, no, and that was great. I allowed you to geek out. So if you go back to the Garden of Eden, right?
That's what I was thinking.
And before sin, man is perfect vision, meaning that it's not weird at all for Eve to be in the garden and have a conversation with Lucifer, the archangel of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, thinking then, like, the angel that was standing afterwards with the flaming sword, they would have saw him too. And they said that they heard God coming, and they heard him. So yeah, they walked and talked with him.
But there seems to be after sin a deterioration of man's ability to see
extra-dimensionally
certain real things. Mm-hmm. Okay. A great example of this is Balaam. You know, the donkey is able to see that there's an angel, the angel of the Lord, standing in front of him with a sword about to kill him.
Well, even like nowadays too, like there's people with their dogs, and like their dogs will freak out about something barking in the corner, but they don't. Or like people who have supernatural things happening in their home, and then the animals will freak out about the things happening because they'll point and they'll see. So like supposedly, I mean, the animals might be able to still see and sense in a way of that type of thing.
So here's my thesis on this story, is that this is not a progressive miracle. I think that's a very complicated thing to like, even though there's truth in it, I have more problems with that from the text than great application. I think Jesus healed the man to full sight, meaning that when he says, I see men like trees walking, like he is seeing interdimensionally, that he's not just seeing what we see, but he is seeing into the spiritual realm that the Bible describes is around us. I think he sees fallen angels, actual non-fallen angels. I think he sees everything in the spiritual dimension. And so Jesus is like, oh man, this is going to be a rough run for you. So let me pull this back a little. So it's not that Jesus was progressively healing the man. It's that Jesus fully healed him, gave him a glimpse into what was really around him, and then was like, that's going to be really hard to handle also, all yeah, the like, time.
You know what's the even, Lord, no, good. Oh, you know what's even weirder? This dude's been blind since birth, so he doesn't know what people actually look like.
I see men walking as trees. He didn't know what trees look like.
Well, right, that's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, and as the Lord encounters each of us individually, specifically, like what that man might have needed is the extra step in to see the power of who he was dealing with and speaking to, and then to come back to a full sight, seeing clearly. But he understood then in that moment, oh, this is not a normal man. A, he just healed me from being blind, but B, I saw into a world that I haven't ever seen before.
Well, I mean, that's
and he pulled me back out of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean by going, like, he's been blind since birth.
Yeah.
He can, I've never been blind, so I don't really know how to describe people just for by their voices and stuff like that. You know, it's kind of like when you listen to people on the radio. Maybe you're listening to us on you've only heard us on the podcast, and you've got an image in your mind of what we look like. Like going full board into this whole spiritual realm and then pulling back, it gives him a greater understanding from then on out of what the world is actually like.
For sure.
Because he took him out into the wilderness, right? Is what it,
outside
the city.
So there's less people out there.
Yeah, and then Jesus, we're told in verse 26, sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Now before we kind of wrap it up and give some application, Creighton, a little word from Get Fed Today.
Oh, yes. So tonight's episode is brought to you by Get Fed Today podcast. On this podcast every week, it features Bible studies from five different pastors offering diverse insights and heartfelt teachings that will deepen your faith and enrich your understanding of God's word. Whether you're at home, commuting, or on a coffee break, the Get Fed Today podcast will help you start your week with both purpose and inspiration. Subscribe today on either Apple, Google, or Spotify and experience the transformative power of the word of God. Again, that is Get Fed Today. And just search that on any of your podcasting apps. And if it doesn't show up, let me know so we can get it on there.
Justin.
Yeah. You know, we all do this for this is a ministry thing. We don't get paid to be here, although it would be nice. So if you do like us, you listen to us a lot, give us a like on all our platforms, share the videos. That's the best way to
follow us. Yeah.
Like, comment, subscribe, the usual stuff. That's the best way to support us. We don't have many followers, but man, we love you guys. The few that are there, and we love the interactions. And you know, if you miss some episodes, or maybe we've been doing this for 2-3 years now.
It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you're kind of like, oh, I wonder what the past episodes have been like, because they were doozies back then. You can go back and go to...
That's what we should call past episodes, doozies.
Yeah, you can go to outlawradio.org and you can check out our archives on that and check out past episodes. And then, again, we're on all the platforms right now, on podcast platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and
X
now. So
well, Spice Daddy did mention, you know, the best way that you could support us is by doing like, subscribe, whatever. You could also write a fat check for like $1 million if you want.
That would be awesome.
That's also a big way. If you go to tithe.es, that's a website, tithe.es, it actually links to our church. We have a Breeze account. You can donate $1 million and just put 4K Outlaw Radio, and these guys won't have to work anymore.
I will put your face on a t-shirt.
And yes. Yeah, that will be your reward in heaven.
That's right.
But he's got a big frame, so it'll be a big face.
I can fit.
A fat head.
Or multiple faces.
A bunch of them, multiple faces.
Yeah, so yeah, multiple millions.
We're going to end up with, like, NASCAR jackets with people's faces on them. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Awesome. I would love
to see. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I like it.
I mean, if you want to just drop copious amounts of money to enable these guys. I get paid by the church, so that would never go to me. But enable these guys to do ministry full time. That'd be awesome. Walter's in South Africa. Like, I can send $1 million, but it's like 10 bucks in my currency.
I would be a South African joke.
You know what? South African joke.
I would be Walter. Okay with Walter sending me two things. Biltong and Nando's Peri Peri sauce. Mm. The hot ones. The
I thought Nando's was Australian.
Well, it's 9 o'clock. Braves are playing. Let's wrap up the episode.
Yep, sounds good.
So I bring up this very, I think, cool story about Jesus healing a man that's blind and him being able to see into the spiritual realm. Opting to reverse that back, probably in an act of grace. But what that does tell us, and again, and reinforces for us, is that there is so much happening around you right now, this very moment, literally around you that you can't see, and probably, according to this man's reaction, don't want to see. But we need to be aware of it, and we need to be sensitive to it. There is a battle that's being waged, not just for the souls of the people around you, but for your own. Now, it's true, greater is he that's in you than he who is in the world. Mm-hmm. And the Bible tells us that God has an angelic host, and we have examples throughout Scripture that's at our ready. Be aware that you might be entertaining angels, as we're told in Hebrews. But at the same time, also know that there are forces of evil, demonic powers, angelic forces that are also around us. You know, again, if you want to kind of increase your own personal sensitivity to these type of things, I would exhort you to get C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. Great book. It's about one elder demon writing to a younger demon letters, giving him advice on how he can tempt, you know, the guy that he's been assigned to. Again, it's a creepy experience. But again, it's like, I think the world tries to desensitize us to these things. And with the things that have been happening as of late, I see a grace in that. That it's a bit of a kind of a shot to the armor, a shot across the bed, like, wake up, wake up, wake up. This is happening. This is going on. I'm not saying there are lizard people running the government. There's an extreme that can be that this all this can be taken to. But what is an extreme is that there are demons all around us, fallen angels. I brought you here tonight. Because I think you have a unique sensitivity. So I just kind of want to let you, give you the floor for a few minutes. Share your heart about that topic from your own experiences, what you've experienced, and then we'll tap out from there.
I mean, firstly, there's power in the name of Jesus. And like, that's it. Like, we can think about, yes, the demons and the principalities and the things that operate within the spiritual realm that is there and it is real. And there is power that's happening, the things that we don't necessarily see, but there is power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Any reformed witch or warlock will tell you these, like, times that they've gotten together, that they were trying to pray over specific people, and in these, like, divination things that they were able to see, there were certain people they weren't able to touch. They weren't able to touch certain homes. They weren't able to touch certain kids and different people because they were covered by the blood of Christ. They were literally covered. And so, in all these things too, when it comes back, like, going back to Pizzagate, like, this is I want to bring back Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing that hath been It is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. So these things that were, they always will be, and they have been, and they're going to continue to be. It's about our relationship with Christ and following him. Everything else just kind of falls into place after that. The Lord will guide us if we're faithful to him and in following him. So regardless of all the other things that are happening on beyond the scene, if that is something that the Lord's putting on your heart to, you have a more sensitivity to the spiritual side of things, or you're interacting with somebody and you can automatically tell something's going on with them. Like, that's the Spirit working in you too. Working,
amen.
Like, that's not just the spiritual as only limited to demonic activity. It's everything. Like, the Spirit speaks to us. He is the power given to us to be able to cast out demons. Like, this is something that is in us if we are believing, following Christ. The Spirit is in us. So we should fear nothing. We should fear nothing at any point and anyhow. Yes, all these things are crazy, but God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So keep that in mind too when you are thinking on those things, or you encounter something, or if you encounter someone that you think in that moment is like, this is crazy. This, I feel that this is a demonic activity that's housed within this person. Like, the Lord will be there, and the Lord will shine, and the Lord will give you what you need in that moment. But just look to him.
I love it. That's great. And I will say, Justin, before you roll us out, I think that's such a great exhortation, D, about, you know, in an episode where it's like seeing demons and being sensitive to the demonic around us, evil forces around us.
They're always there.
Yeah, they're always there. But we also, at the same time, need to be equally sensitive, if not more, to the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
who is not seen, but is experienced and is felt. You know, we it's like, Lord, give me eyes to see the evil around me, but also give me a sensitivity to the Spirit in me.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
For sure, absolutely.
And I think that's such a wonderful.
I think it's more important too. Like, so what, yeah. if you can see all the negative or the evil around you, it's like, okay, well, ask the Lord to open up your eyes for the woman that needs prayer or the person that needs
yes.
prayer. Like, and where you're at, like, the Spirit does speak and the Spirit moves.
If we're gonna interact in the spiritual realm, let's not do that on our own.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do that under the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? Yeah,
it won't work.
It won't work, and it probably is probably a dangerous thing to attempt.
Yeah, 100%.
On our own. So thank you so much for being here, D. Cray, Spice Daddy. You've been watching the Outlaw Radio Show. If you've been watching, check out the podcast. The audio of tonight's episode gets released. Spotify, Google, Apple. If you're on Spotify, if you're listening on Spotify and you ever like Thursday afternoon, if by Friday, if you don't get an episode, please email us at pokecreighton@gmail.com because Spotify is terrible at refreshing whatever it is that they do. It's the least dependable. I had a buddy tell me that today and that he didn't get last week's episode and we had to refresh it. So it's just notorious. If you're listening, hang out with us on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Wednesday night, X, YouTube, Facebook. Next week, we will not be meeting. A little bit of fall break. And then the week after, very excited, we'll be having a special guest. We're not announcing who it is so that Creighton has no idea. God bless. See you guys in 2 weeks.